We're back from recess. Our next item of business is a discussion. Trying to see how we had that drafted. Meeting with CenturyLink. This meeting is prompted through a call that I received from Bonnie Snyder and hope that we can talk about a subject of interest to the county, and that's the phone system and service and what's been happening recently, and perhaps clear the air on some matters and move forward. We also have Mark and Tammy with us here from the county. Jim called me early this morning. He has a personal emergency and that he's taking care of, and he may or may not be here, but he is going to attempt to be here, he said. And I'm going to let you begin. Can we do that, Bonnie?
We sure can. I guess we have a couple of things that are on the table right now. One is the recent...
What this is, just for your edification, we broadcast live over the Internet. We also record the system, so that's what the sound system is.
One is the recent service outage, and we can take this agenda whichever direction you would like. Would you like a synopsis of the recent event?
We would like you to carry this meeting in any direction you'd like to go, and then if we have questions, we'll ask from there, if that's all right. So, yes, that'd be great.
And then you would understand what the event was and what's happened and where the technicians are to date. And Chris Allmiller will address that portion. And then I would like to address the maintenance agreements and contracts that CenturyLink has had in place with the county, what they cover, what services they provide, and what that risk and benefit are to the county.
Okay.
So I think to begin with, I'll let Chris address the issue that was uncovered about 2 weeks ago.
Sure. The issue started where any call that would come in, either from the outside or internally, about 75% of the time when the call would terminate, there would be no speech path from end to end. So you would ring in, the phone would ring until someone picked it up. As soon as you picked up, there would be silence. No side could hear the other side. It was the most common complaint. The technician came on site, began troubleshooting, following the standard troubleshooting processes, found that it appeared to be a software-related issue rather than a hardware-related issue, and continued those troubleshooting steps. The break in the troubleshooting process that Bonnie will discuss next occurred when we came back on site on Tuesday, continued those troubleshooting steps, reloaded all of the software patches on the system, which helped the issue. And then the next step, which occurred yesterday, was a full reload of all of the, they call it firmware, on the media gateway controller cards. After the firmware was reloaded on those cards, all of the issues have gone away. We still have that. Darren Scholl, the technician, is still on site today, monitoring, making test calls, waiting for any potential trouble tickets that may arrive. But so far today, there have been none, and everything is operating as expected. So the issue did crop up after a storm and after the system lost power, lost network connectivity, but because it's a software-related issue, we can't say firmly whether it was specifically related to lightning, but we just can say that after the storm, we found software corruption that was resolved by new firmware. And everything is running smoothly at this moment. And we believe that the issue is resolved.
And could you elaborate a little bit on the UPS, the uninterruptible power supply?
Well, my understanding about there's a UPS in the system, or in the PBX room in the Judicial Center, that runs a switch in that office that has connectivity for the PBX. That UPS had a failure. We believe the failure was due to a server that was plugged into it that caused it to become overloaded. And then when that happened, the system was unable to communicate between the separate cabinets. That has been since resolved. The server has been unplugged. It is into a different UPS. Now that switch is on its own isolated UPS.
So was that switch a courthouse switch or a CenturyLink switch?
The switch is a courthouse switch, okay. And the server as well.
Okay. And did one of our technicians overload that by plugging it in, or was...
No. I think that it was plugged in, I would have to assume, by a courthouse employee.
I'm going to ask you to go through that again, because you're going to have to take a little time with me. What you guys are talking about is up here for me.
Right.
And
right.
I apologize for that.
No, that's okay.
I'll catch up just as quick as I can. So we have some equipment that is related that is ours and some that is...
Sure. The network, the data equipment is all owned by the county. The phone system itself, though, utilizes the data network to talk to itself. So if ever the data network is unavailable, the phone system could still be up and running but not able to talk to itself, either between the old courthouse and the new courthouse or even within each individual building. So I want to state that the UPS failure probably had nothing to do with the software corruption. It was just one of the issues that occurred when the phone system lost power. So it was just kind of there were several little things after that storm that occurred. That was one of them that caused a lack of connectivity. That issue has since been resolved, and we don't think that's going to be a problem again because that server is no longer connected into that UPS. But it did overload the system when there was a commercial power loss. Everything went down, and it took removing that server to restore the service. But the phone system itself was up during that time. It was just the phone system's ability to talk over the data network was impaired. Or disrupted, I guess, would probably be a better word.
Mm-hmm. I've got a question. Mm-hmm. Have there been steps taken to make sure that can't take place again where there can be another server or another plugged into that caused that thing to
I think it would probably just be more of a training issue, make everyone aware on the staff that the UPS could be labeled. It has not been yet. Maybe that would be a good next step, is to label the UPS as critical.
That lays within our system, so you would be doing the labeling, Mark?
We're already aware
of okay.
where the weakest link was. It's pretty clear to us what's what, and it won't be repeated.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure that there were steps in place that would make sure that this couldn't happen again.
Absolutely. I think at that point, just the UPS was, it's just a small battery backup. So at that point, until power failure, you really don't know what kind of sustainability you have on those devices. So, I mean, you have a collective of a chain of events that kind of yielded us probably the worst outcome. It's just learn from it and get a bigger battery backup over there for sure.
That's certainly not the first time something like that has happened. Not here with other customers.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon to overload a UPS and then find out that you've got it overloaded when you have a power failure.
And for nobody on our side or CenturyLink side could even predict that the phone system was going to react the way it did.
Right, absolutely.
So it was just a reactionary event. I do think the phone system is supposed to have disaster recovery type features in it, or it's supposed to fail over.
It does have failover features.
I don't know if that quite worked out as according to what it's supposed to do.
The system does fail over, but the system uses the same software build between the main call server and the alternate call server. So if there's a software corruption, or in this case, it was actually software corruption in the media gateways.
Right.
There, in that case, the software would be corrupted across the entire system as opposed to alternate or primary call server. So if one building has commercial power and the other doesn't, or one becomes isolated, we can fail over to the other call server and still continue operations in the other building. But if something occurs that causes software corruption across the entire system, failing over to the other call server does not resolve that. And that was, unfortunately, the case in this issue.
But the way I'm understanding you, I'm like Ron, this is above my head, but the way I'm understanding you, that you're taking steps now to have a larger battery pack in place. Now, is that on all of our system? Is this the only battery pack that takes care of the entire system that we have, or do we need to update what we have in other locations? Because the only thing that I know about this is that this system is more or less scattered throughout the courthouse.
Right, yeah. The phone system is pretty much in three separate, I think, physical locations right now.
So what I'm asking is those other locations that would pertain to having a battery pack for operation, are they being replaced now or being updated?
We're assessing each of those, you know, those little data rooms, and we can do that for sure. I mean, in this case, it was just not having any idea. You know, battery backup still is not going to provide you unlimited power, a power source during a power outage. It's really, especially the ones that we have out there, are just there to get us through a brownout, or, you know, just when the power blips off and on real quick. There is enough sufficient power there. It was just, there's no way on either of our parts that we could have predicted that the phone system was going to react after losing network connectivity in that room. So it's quite possible that even if when the power went out, that the phone system still could have done this anyways, if the battery backup couldn't have even stayed, you know, right. After the battery backup just ran out of power on battery, the phone system still could have come back up in its corrupted state. So it's really super hard to...
Mark's correct about that. We can't... That's why I wanted to be careful to say that we don't know that that was the factor. It was just one of several
A mitigating factor. But I guess to help Ron clarify that, or Danny, I'm sorry, are all the UPSs isolated at this point to only have the phone systems plugged into them?
Well, the phone system itself has its own dedicated UPS. Each cabinet has its own battery backup that is dedicated only to it. It would be the network switching that has its own UPS, and those are
you know, county provided battery backups,
right.
But they're not there to keep those switches up nonstop for, you know,
right,
unlimited runtime. So it's just not designed that way. We can go that route, but given the fact that we have a generator and everything else,
that's where I was at with with what took place with the power outage. We have a tremendous generator down at the judicial facility, and we also, I think, don't we still have the old one here?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, this is above my head. I don't know where we're at with it, but didn't understand if those things kicked in where we have a large investment of dollars to prevent. Then I want to make sure that every step is taken that this doesn't happen again.
Absolutely. With a UPS, if there is a failover, you know, the transfer switch should go from commercial power to generator power, and that UPS is overloaded, it will click itself off, even in that 1 second that it may take to do that.
Wow.
And I believe that's what happened here. It failed and shut itself down. So it protected what it was supposed to protect. It just was not able to continue providing power because it was overloaded. That's it. If there was a power outage today, I would not expect that situation would occur again. And I know that Mark's going to go back and take a look at all his UPSs and make sure.
We've already gone back and looked at that one data room.
So you're explaining this as an event of circumstances that possibly could never happen again.
Possibly.
That caused the outage.
And I think the big thing, and I know Mark's already on this, is once he's got those proper UPSs tested and in place, it's just the training part to make sure, okay, this is the load that we expect to be on these UPSs. Please nobody add any additional load without working back through Mark or
that
designated
room there is actually kind of a special scenario, too. You have nearly three entities that work.
Where's the room at, Mark?
In the judicial center, the IT room next to the juvenile offices over there.
Okay.
You know, we have the phone system that's in there, so Darren's in there doing his thing,
right?
You know, and he's unsupervised, he does his thing, and I'm not saying he's doing anything that he shouldn't be. We also have state-owned equipment that's in that room as well, you know, so, and then we have our equipment. So you've got three different entities that are working in there, and it's not a logged entrance-type room where we know who's in there at what time and go back in there and go audit the power. You know, there's nothing set up like that to, you know, not that we, you know, couldn't put something in place if we find it necessary, but I think the main part of this outage was just that the software corrupted itself somehow and needed to be reloaded, and that was the main cause for the outage. Under a normal circumstance, I would expect that the phone system can be rebooted on its own, and 99% of the time it comes back up and works the way it's supposed to. So it, you know, it's just a
which I'm
worst
sure
case scenario that happened.
As you all know, it's not uncommon to have a power outage here in this area. That phone system has rebooted due to power outages several times over the years, and this was just a very odd one-off type of occurrence that we would certainly not expect to happen again the next power outage.
That brings me to a subject that I want to talk about that's related to this, but should there be a card swipe so that if there is an outage that we have the individual or individuals that are in that particular room, mm-hmm. that we know that this is it one entrance to this mm-hmm. facility, mm-hmm. I think that there should be a card swipe installation put in on the door so that we know which technician is there, what time frame it's there, and all those things that might relate to something in the future that is unpredicted by the county.
Right. Yeah, that could help for sure. It gives some accountability on that.
And security.
Mm-hmm.
A room
sure.
like that that's maintaining mm-hmm. the facilities for the courthouse and 911.
We actually also have the environmental systems in there too. That's actually mounted on the wall in there at the same time. So,
right.
I mean, we're already up to four vendors that are actually in there working out of that room. And, I mean, yeah, we're just there to, we've had battery backups there to support the county's network, but it seems like everybody kind of yeah. comes and goes and uses what's there.
Ron,
so.
would you care to go ahead and go with me and direct him to put a card swipe on that and issue those particular cards? That way we have more of an idea. As he's talking about four entities, basically, that have access to that room with one entrance, and it would be a very simple deal for a card swipe, and then Tammy or Mark have the other, you know, access if somebody else needed to be in there or something.
Right.
Is it locked right now?
Mm-hmm. It's a normal key. Yeah,
so they come, a technician checks in with you? And obtains the
key? I'm not sure.
Does
Darren even have his own key? He might.
They have
we have card swipe access to the building.
The building there, but that
but
room
not
itself
to the
is
room
not
itself.
No, I'm pretty sure it's just
I think there are two spots as you travel through the lower floor of the Judicial Center
yeah.
that you card swipe through to get into that final hallway, and then the actual door itself is key.
Their key location is in this building, so they come to this building, get the key, and leave it to where any of the techs that we have can come get that key and then get into. So it's kind of a two-part process just to, for them to get in and check.
So what's a better way to handle it, Mark?
Well, I think we've identified a somewhat of a potential weakness to avoid, right?
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think we can ever protect that room from a power failure. So, I mean, we could put the biggest battery backup we want that we can find on that network equipment.
The possibility exists for still
having a power failure. Possibility still exists. So
sure.
We might be overkilling this. It's just, I think what you get now versus what you get by taking a couple extra precautions on the locks and a battery backup, we could still have the same outcome.
That's not my point, though.
Okay.
My point is to know for safety reasons
okay.
and for future
right.
Security reasons that I would want a card so
okay.
I could know who entered and who exited at certain times, that when the phones went down, I would know
mm-hmm.
who to talk to. You would know who to talk to. It's what I'm talking
yeah.
about, not
okay.
me, because I'm not in that field. But
right.
you would have an idea who to go directly to and say what took place while you were here.
Okay.
Whether it's phones, the environmentals, whatever
right,
controls
right,
in that room.
Right. But and that's a cheap fix.
Mm-hmm.
From if the goal is to gain that type of information, I would suggest maybe a card swipe for the other PBX room in this courthouse.
Mm.
It's the same. You can do all the same things in that room. If you know, if the goal is to find out, hey, is the tech working on the PBX, and has he made changes that could potentially take it down, or did somebody else access this room that could essentially break the PBX, non-related to a CenturyLink? That room is, you can do all of the same work in that room as you can do in the IT room.
The two buildings have two different access The Judicial Center does actually have an access control system in it.
Right.
This building does.
There is none.
No. I mean,
so I guess that would just be a security weakness then to be aware of, that a technician can come into this building, do all of the same PBX work that could happen in the Judicial Center.
With the security cameras that we're putting in, we will have a camera on the door
to
that room. So at that point, we could still backtrack and see who was the last person in that room. There is only one way in, one way out of that room. So I still think we've got an option of accountability on that front. I think that's good.
Come back to me with the commission with a couple of options on what we can do. I hadn't thought about the camera, obviously, but I know Dan has suggested doing the card swipe, and I'm not opposed to doing that.
Okay.
But is it all right, Dan, that he comes to us and we take a look at what options we have, and then we'll move forward on it?
My experience in being a troubleshooter on electrical tells me whenever I've got 14 employees working on a project, who's where, at what time, who to go to. And that in itself makes things a whole lot simpler than trying to figure out what the problem is when it's taking place. So that's the reason I wanted to go that route.
So I do have another question. When this began and Darren came over and was working on it, he made a report back of his hours and those things, and then another vendor was called in. And if you could provide some background as to why that happened.
Would you back me up to when was it that Darren was here working on?
This all started September 20th.
Okay, and I heard your question. I had a death in the family last week, and I received an email from Jim regarding the system problems that we were having, etc. I emailed him back. It was either an email or a text, I don't remember, but because it was an emergency. And I said, and he told me he thought he could handle it. I said, take care of it. That's okay with me. If you have any questions, contact someone else. But I was a pallbearer and blah, blah, blah. So Jim has moved forward. Until yesterday, I thought, as I told you when you called me, that it was you, the company that was involved in this. And that turned out not to be the case, and we did have somebody else. Now, Mark, her question is, how did we get to someone else? And I'm assuming that was Jim's call, but I don't know that.
Okay, I mean, as far as...
I don't have a problem with that. I just, we're trying to get to where, okay.
So it looks like as far as the 8, or let's see, 925, we got Tammy just has been logging through email here that Darren needed... was requesting that he was going to need ATAC support to help with this issue. But I guess at that point, ATAC support was not available to him or to us at that point due to our maintenance contract status. I don't know if this is really the email that shows it or not, but Tammy received an email pretty clearly at that point from nobody that's here. It was a Tim or somebody, I know. Tammy can... come up with a name of that if you need it. Basically, we were pretty much refused anybody to come out and help us at that point. So that's where I was asked by Jim Strafis to find somebody. The phone system is down, so we get in here and try to figure out what's going on.
Mark, I would be very interested to see that email because I've gone through all of the correspondence and I don't find anything that would indicate that. And I've taken personal responsibility in involving myself in this, both with your attorney and the commissioners, in responding to his letter asking about the maintenance agreements and stating the commitments and...
Tammy was the one that was pretty much in direct...
And I said we would make every effort,
yeah.
We would provide best effort service, all of those things.
Well,
so at my level and with the commissioners and your legal counsel, that was the directive. We had no point ever said we would not provide service. And I clarified that in a follow-up email to Tammy.
And this is right here, if you want to see it, the email we got. This is what I guess Commissioner Strafis was.
That point in that email was what Mr. Strafis told me that was the line of the email that he specifically told me to type that offended him, and he took issue with. And I quoted him in the follow-up to what that email.
Not being privy to it, what does it say?
Want me to read this? It says, it lists the different items that Darren was working on, number of hours, and then the bottom of it says, Darren said he could spend all day out there today fixing the ringing issues. Tammy, Darren really needs ATEX switch support, and it is now unavailable due to the maintenance and pass agreements being out of term. As always, please call me with any questions.
If possible, I'd like to speak to that because there's a statement in there that is slightly incorrect. Our structure for our technicians is, of course, we have the field technicians, that Darren, who's been referenced here, and then we have a next level of CenturyLink tech support called ATAC, and they're highly trained PBX technicians who sit in a group, and then the field technicians can call those technicians for support. And then there is the third level, which is the vendor, and in this case, the name of that vendor is Avaya. Where I see the issue here is it's not when a maintenance agreement expires. The maintenance agreement is between CenturyLink, the county, and the vendor, Avaya. So if that agreement expires, we're then unable under the normal agreement to contact Avaya for support on that particular system, not ATAC. At any time, a technician can contact ATAC, who is the CenturyLink tech support, and obtain tech support. Right. If ATAC says that's above and beyond our ability to fix this issue, they would then go to a level 3 or tier 3 type support, which is Avaya. And when the maintenance agreement expires, that is what becomes unavailable unless there's a special situation where you can choose to pay them on an hourly basis, or it's special things have to come into place for that to occur. So that is actually a misstatement, because ATAC support is always available to our technicians. But I do believe he actually just meant to say Avaya. I was confused there.
Ron,
I'm listening.
At this point, where we're discussing contracts and virtual talks over who's responsible for what or who's doing what, we are posted for executive session under contracts.
Well, if you want to go deep into contracts, we can do that. Her question was, and let me run this by, how did we get to the point where we called another vendor? And I think that we've answered that. I know this, that I received a call yesterday from you, and based upon that call and the information I got to you, I tried to contact Tammy, who was at lunch. It was like just after 12. So I talked to Mark. Mark came upstairs, and I said, in talking with you, if, in fact, we need your help, how soon can you be here? And you said it'd be the next call I make. I think those were almost exactly your words. I relayed that to Mark, and I said, do we have any problem working with them or working with whomever it is that we have? And Mark said, no, we need to take care of the problem. So hopefully that's what we've done, and we've resolved the issue that was at hand. Am I correct with both parties here?
I would like to think that. I'm concerned that Mr. Stroff has felt that we were unavailable or unwilling or unable to communicate, because in the next correspondence from Tammy, it says, Tim, I forward this to the county commission, I would think that being the three of you, for their direction on these issues. I just received a call from Jim Stroffis regarding the email. He asked me to tell you he's deeply offended by the email of 925 comments and wants to have contact information for your supervisor boss, which would be me. To date, I have not heard from Mr. Stroffis. I reached out to Tammy and said, could we please get together with the commissioners and discuss this? But I've not heard from him. There's always an opportunity for error or misunderstandings, all you have to do is talk about it. And we could have shortcutted this entire event by having Darren back over here working on things much quicker. Would be my only thought. If there's an issue, I just want to get it on the table, and we have to talk. We're all adults here.
Aside from, what we've been discussing, are there any other issues? either with you or with you all?
I don't believe so.
I know that a different issue, and let me take us there, are the maintenance agreements.
Yes.
And how we got to that point was, because I've made it a point with the county commission since I've been involved, is that all contracts that the county has, we need to run by council. So there are a lot of contracts that we've had within the courthouse that are being looked at by council and then being passed back to us for our approval based upon what council tells us. Council told the county commission, obviously late in the process because the maintenance agreements, I think, were due or it was right at the time that they were due, that you need to bid this. I attended the Missouri County Commissioners Association yesterday. I'm on that board of directors. So I asked the question, and the only thing that is bid and that entire group of individuals that represents the board is long-distance service. That was all that I could find within the group. Now, we have, and I know that Mark's been working on it, and I'm assuming that Tammy's been working on it, trying to put together what we need. Mark advised the county commission that there were at least three of the agreements we need to just go ahead and sign and move forward.
Well, the two agreements, there were two agreements, and that was the 911 maintenance contract and this actual Nortel maintenance contract. The county phone system has been migrated.
And then the others, you were going to come back to us with some more information.
Well,
and
the others I recommended just for the county's safety there, liability, is that the T1, the PRI, and the Metro Ethernet and the Internet contracts, and that those go out for bid just because there are vendors in the area that can offer those same services. And then I also mentioned in that meeting that you guys were for sure invited to bid on it, so that wasn't getting, but just brought to everybody's attention. So
here's where we are. Council has advised us. I understand that. We take their opinions on a weekly basis. But we're at the point in the game where contracts, maintenance agreements have already expired. And I'm very much of the personal opinion that we need to get re-involved and take our time in examining exactly what it is that we need, Dan. Work with you all to come up over the course of, over time, what it exactly it is so that I can be better informed on what we're bidding and what we're talking about, because I probably have the least knowledge of anyone sitting in here about this system and or any system as far as that goes regarding phones. I'm just... And I don't mind doing that. I don't know what your thoughts are on it, Dan. And
my thoughts.
Jim's not here to express his.
Yeah, my thoughts are to move forward to progress with this maintenance agreement and all the other things that need to be taken care of on those. If you've named off five agreements, then if you're wanting to take some time, Ron, the extension of those agreements to be passed by the county commission, they're all time related, and so we need to take some action on it.
In fairness to Commissioner Straffus, I don't want to do that in his absence, but I would ask that we establish a time for that at next Tuesday's meeting. Monday's a holiday, and that we roundtable discussion this. And then make a decision and move forward. Is that all right?
That's where I would like to go.
Amy, if you're listening, I need to find a time slot for next Tuesday to add phone discussion, phone service discussion. What would I properly call it?
Phone and
contracts.
Yeah, phone and network contracts.
Phone and network contracts. Now, with that said, what other comments and issues shall we talk about or work through, Bonnie?
So do you feel that these, in the future, is your goal to better understand the services, the equipment, everything that the county has in place, how it works together?
My goal, in part, but why I want to have a discussion in-house next week is to have a better understanding of exactly what Jim thinks that we need to do differently than we're currently doing now, and why we need to move in that direction, and if it is viable for us to move in that direction. I have a number of questions. We need to talk about that. I need to be convinced of it. And make a decision from that point forward. Obviously, for me to make an intelligent decision, I have to have a lot more information to be able to do that. I did ask questions yesterday, as I said, at the board of directors, and I discovered some interesting facts about systems throughout various courthouses across the state. But the unique thing is we have received an opinion from our counsel that leads us down a certain path, and we need to chat with counsel and have counsel chat with a couple of other counties and perhaps see what the auditor's office has said. Not anything that's going to be time-consuming. This is two or three telephone calls, and we're going to be there. So that's where I'm at.
So you want to review those things from that?
We want to sign, number one, the contracts that we've already been told to sign, which I understand are maintenance agreements. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for sending me those. I think there were six.
Yes, and I have them with me today.
And I printed them out. So I've done my best to try to peruse some of those between speakers that we had yesterday. And then if you all can be available, and we can chat about this on Tuesday on the whatever time period that they set up for us.
And let me put on my 911 administrator hat. I'm very concerned about that contract, and that's one that Mark suggested to all of you that it gets signed, because we don't want to have any major issues with that. And I've been told by CenturyLink that they would support. They're not going to jump ship and not support 911, but I would like to get that looked at.
It falls into the same peril, though, Tammy, and the manufacturer of that equipment will not accept support calls.
Right.
Where at least Avaya will take a call. It's $360 an hour.
Yeah.
And you're not in preference because you're not a subscriber at that point. Mm-hmm. But the manufacturer of the PBX equipment will not, so you are truly in peril.
And that's what concerns me most.
And they're both linked.
Correct.
And what?
Those systems are linked together.
The 911 system and the phone system.
And that's why Mark suggested that those two, the maintenance contract for the courthouse system and campus, and the 911 maintenance contracts are really considered.
Can I see what you have in hand with that you brought today in a hard copy?
Not only are the importance of them, but I also feel that CenturyLink is truly the best vendor for both of those contracts. Just given that the system that we have has been designed and engineered by you from scratch, there's just no other vendor that will know how to manage a situation better than they will right now at this point. So.
Show me which ones we're talking about.
This is 911.
Okay.
So this takes care of all of the 911 equipment for Taney County. And it lists all of those out, all of that equipment that it actually covers with the annual charge. And these are the signature areas for you. This PRI is what actually feeds dial tone over at the Taney County Airport, which is your redundant location.
Mm-hmm.
This circuit is very similar. These just have different types of sibling. This supports all of the dial tone coming into the courthouse. This is the network piece. So this supports the connectivity, the actual fiber between your locations. This is the agreement on the phone system for the maintenance. So those two would be maintenance. This is a contract that gives you a discount off all of your local services that are with CenturyLink.
Mark, show me which agreements you had suggested that all three county commissioners had agreed with when Jim was present.
She put them together. There's the two.
These two right here?
These are equipment.
Is this which one is this one?
That's the phone system.
These two for sure.
These are equipment, but this is the network that all plugs into this equipment.
Now, let me ask, is this what was a question?
This is what you can bid with other vendors.
Parts of it, sure.
Yes.
And I guess my other part of that, Mark, would be to ask you to recuse yourself from any bidding because of the company that you own that provides these services.
Right. Well, I mean, even without my company, well, I can still think of four or five other vendors out there.
Well, is our approval of these two, are you telling me, are not good without the approval of these?
They're all interdependent because this is equipment. This is network and dial phone.
Okay.
The failure that we just had uncovered under this.
That's correct.
All this stuff was working just fine.
These are all right now receiving negotiated special rates that we give to the county because of the term involved at an expired rate.
Just see if you can reach Amy upstairs if you have to call 7204.
At an expired rate on a month-to-month basis, the cost of these goes up probably 50%.
Which is one of the reasons why I think you should get those out.
Well, I want to, I wish Jim were here. I want to have the discussion with all of us present. You.
We're not posted to vote on these agreements, or I'd vote on them today.
Actually, we have CenturyLink listening. It's a discussion. If we wish to bring these up, I think that we could. Because we have already agreed to what Mark presented us with the three of us here. Was it last week or?
That, on those two then?
Yes.
Yeah, we did. We said, okay, that's what we'll do. We'll move forward. So I had actually assumed that were these to be presented to me upstairs, I would have just signed them administratively. But I'm sorry I keep looking at this like an uncle. I'm now that's
if,
not doing
if
so
I
well.
If I offer any insight, I would encourage you to take care of things as they are right now to reduce any further liability, get things moving, and then allow yourself that period of time to get this to where the county feels like you're in compliance, write a quality RFP, put whatever you want out to bid, and make sure that you're following all the rules and dotting all the I's and crossing the T's.
I do know
yourself that
one
thought.
Thing legal is held up on right now is it's not that they don't see you guys as the best vendor and want to do this. I think there's a bidding / sole source position that you guys might be more adequately categorized for them to do that with or get you labeled at that point that will avoid this from happening in the future. And I'm pretty sure that's where the legal department, that's the big issue that they're held up on right now because then he has to work with the purchasing department and they have to.
We have always been deemed sole source provided for this.
At this point, I don't think that they are. They're considering that. It's not.
That's how it's always happened.
Well, I know it has, but there's been purchasing going.
Also put in there that we
I don't know. You might want to check with them and see if there's anything you can do to help them.
We did, and there wasn't any knowledge. So if you could provide some insight to that.
I can try to get everybody together to do it, but I don't know.
Do you have a bidder list that people need to subscribe to so that if an RFP is published?
Yes. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Mr. Erickson's on there
for two
stairs.
Thanks,
he's got everybody's email addresses for bids and stuff like that. He's going to keep track of that.
Okay. So, has this been within your responsibility for a year, year and a half?
No, this has actually been. I've just been asked for opinion and consultation on it. This is
when they were received for review and for re-signing, then we were given the information. We passed it along, and their legal department got involved with and the purchasing agent. So,
I guess because my logical thought and question was that if these things haven't been bid out in the past, why all of a sudden right now is this an issue?
Because legal counsel has made it one.
Has made it one. Mm-hmm. And then do you need time to really work that through so you make a good decision?
No, I made that comment a while ago when I said, personally, I feel that we do need to take time. And I'll be offering that opinion when we discuss this on Tuesday next week. What I don't feel comfortable doing is just two of us without the third commissioner being here when many of these questions or issues have been raised by that particular commissioner. It would be unfair for him for us to do that in his absence. And I want to have that discussion with him.
I agree.
And we will have that discussion on Tuesday.
But Ron, from what you told me a while ago,
I believe we
administratively you can sign these because your signature's the only one needed, and we agreed on that last week.
The three of us agreed, based upon Mark's recommendation, that we can move forward with those.
So
that was part of our.
I'm thinking that you should do that for our own protection on those two.
Are these the correct two, Mark, that you had made that recommendation? Show me where I sign. But right here where it says buy. Is there another place within this copy?
I brought two sets of each of the originals.
There needs to be another page added to this, by the way, for your protection, and that's the signature of the county clerk and our accounting officer, which is the auditor, because we have found that contracts are not valid without those. But I'll make sure that we...
Get that added, didn't we? Okay.
Pardon? Here?
Yes.
Actually, Tammy, when we're done here, could you hand walk these to the clerk and she could take care of that? Because Nikki is at a funeral this morning.
Yeah.
I would appreciate that. That way they don't have to wait for it. That's this as well.
If you don't care to, we have Nikki do a tremendous amount of traveling throughout the courthouse to get the signatures, and she's not here, and I appreciate it if you go ahead and do that, and then that's it. That puts it into effect.
Have the county clerk print my name, date, and other information that's needed on the thing.
And then I can
leave
these with you if you like.
I would appreciate that, and we will schedule those for Tuesday.
We can apply the test pages to that also, Ron, for the clerk and the auditor on the back side of these four.
Now, this goes with this, correct? I'm sorry, Danny, what?
We can apply the test
we'll take
page
care of that.
For
yeah.
that.
Yes.
Particular contract.
Hello, Madam County Clerk.
Hello.
Was someone...
Motion.
We just asked
Mark to come back with his
recommendations. Motion. You've got all the paperwork there, and I will.
The chair would entertain a motion to approve contracts number 120-600-544-161 and contract number 120-800-567-137 between CenturyLink Sales Solutions Incorporated and Taney County as presented.
So moved.
I would second that. So the motion has been made and seconded to approve two agreements between CenturyLink Solutions Incorporated and Taney County. Discussion? Both of these agreements have been recommended by our IT department, and all three county commissioners last week did agree that we would move forward on these contracts. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries. Donna, thank you for pointing that out to me, and if you would add what we need on these agreements, we would appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you.
Are you ready? Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Now, we have scheduled this for next week, and I think that she walked off with the time. It's 10:40.
Okay. She'll send us an invite to the
I'll make sure that time. I'll make sure that that happens, and then we'll have that discussion.
Okay.
Do you need us back for that discussion, or is that an
in-house? It'd be in-house. You're welcome. It's going to be open, but if we go into executive session and I ask her to attach that because we're going to talk agreements or contracts, then you wouldn't be asking to that unless we invited you in. Your thoughts on that? Have them come or not come?
I don't see any need in it myself. But
if you need our help, you just call.
We will. Thank you.
Hey, Ron, I've got one more comment.
Yes, sir.
Real quick on the past service issues that we had. I want to make sure everybody knows that Kane County is a large customer to us that we're highly committed to. I think if Bonnie or Chris or I, either three of us, we're available 7/24, and call us, I think this would have been resolved if we had heard from somebody up front. You know, this email came from a salesperson who probably is not as knowledgeable as far as our support and probably didn't phrase it like we should have. And I think he could have been avoided because with or without a maintenance contract, we would have been here. We would have supported him. He's looking at everything back then. So I just want to make sure in the future anything comes up that
we were. I made that mention the last meeting I was up here that even though those contracts did expire, that I've always known CenturyLink to it may be on time and material.
Right.
Because they're outside of that contract, but I've never known CenturyLink to let a customer, you know, out and suffer until a contract got signed.
Yeah, I actually made that comment last week
in
an open meeting, and I recall that. Other issues at all that we need to discuss?
Yes, sir.
You all? Yes? No? No. Thank you very much for your time. Our next order of business is going to be the update with Red Bridge. We'll take a...
Tammy's.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Nice to see you.